I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, hello.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are back.
We're back, yes, but you're acting like we're just regular back. Like, this is big back right now.
You think so?
You had a great world trip. Somebody had a birthday. You had a huge party. Come on.
All the things happened. Yes, I went to Saint-Tropez for
sure did.
A little bit over a week. Saint-Tropez, Cannes, Nice. I came back.
And these are three different places in
France.
Three
different places in France. Just so y'all know, and for you guys who listen to us, I alluded to this prior to Alan. I have been telling Alan for months I'm going to Saint-Tropez. I'm taking my friends to Saint-Tropez. We're doing a big trip in Saint-Tropez. He's like, cool, have a good time. Word. And literally 2 days before I leave, he's like, so the Caribbean, right? I'm like, what?
No, because you're suddenly like before you were like, I'm going to Saint-Tropez. Then as the trip's approaching, you're like,
I'm going to France.
I'm like, wait, when is that? I thought you were going to
Saint-Tropez, which is in France.
I didn't know that.
The French Riviera.
Yeah. I understand that now.
So Saint-Tropez is not in the Caribbean. It is in France. It is on the mainland of France, just on the coast. And so I went.
Shock of all shocks.
Not a shock. Most people knew. But yeah, did that. Came back. Threw myself an epic 40th birthday party. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here.
I attended the party. My favorite thing was the sword throwers.
There was no sword throwers. There were no
the flame eaters. That was nice.
That didn't happen either.
Yeah.
Okay. None of these things happened.
Yeah.
I threw a pool party.
Okay.
And it was a good time.
Okay.
Quite a good time.
Is it worthy of the Momentum Advisors IG page or? That's too personal.
I will find the photos of people who work at Momentum who were at my party. And then that can make the Momentum IG page.
Okay.
Everything else doesn't have anything to do with Momentum. It's not Momentum related.
Yeah, and just for those who haven't seen the photos, I did wear a suit into the swimming pool.
He didn't wear a suit into that. None of these things happen.
Because, you know.
None of these things
happen. I'm always business all the time.
Oh, my God. Alan is rarely ever business any other time.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the birthday celebration is come and gone.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for letting me bug you with it for the last 6 months.
Yeah, and we did the 40 questions for 40
Word.
Years old.
Word. It was
that was
epic.
An expose.
It was all the things. Y'all won't hear about this for, I'm off the birthday.
Okay.
Run. The birthday campaign has ended.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Very happy about that.
So speaking of birthday campaigns.
Okay.
World travel.
Yeah.
People know us as financial advisors. Sure. We're financial advisors. We're investment.
Wealth management.
Experts, of course.
Entrepreneurs.
Yes. But in the process, we're also travelers.
Okay. I am.
Yeah. Like some of us travel all over the world and even know where France is.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yes.
And for others, like I do a lot of domestic travel, like really.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of road trips.
Road trips it down.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we're going to talk a little bit today about how to save some money and time when you're traveling.
Very, very true. I like to think, seriously, I'm an expert when it comes to travel. To the point, even on this last trip, and for people who follow me on my personal social media page, I highlight a lot of my travel. If you look at like my history, my Insta story campaign things, it is a lot of the places that I've been in detail. But people are always shocked at how well I am able to travel and the things that I'm able to pull off.
Yeah.
So I think we need to share them. And Alan has his own separate set of travel tips. So hopefully, you know, let's see if people can appreciate both sides of the travel.
Yeah. Yeah. One of us travels elegantly. Okay. And then there's how Tiffany travels.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
First advice is pack light.
No, that ain't my advice. That is Alan's advice.
When I say pack light, what I'm saying is...
Like Erykah Badu?
Sure. Okay. But I'm saying like...
Don't bring these Negroes. Like what's the...
People need to understand now that you don't need to check your bag in this huge suitcase that you could fit your whole family in. Get yourself a nice carry-on.
Yeah. So I will... Yeah. So I am a... I do not pack light. I pack very, very, very heavy. And it all fits in a carry-on and a personal bag. To the point where people are like, it's not even possible. Like, did you fly some of the stuff? And it's not possible that all of that fit into the carry-on. I went to Saint-Tropez for 9 to 10 days. I had outfits for day and night, every single day. Two different outfits to start the day, one for the evening. Shoes for the day and for the evening.
So how many pairs of shoes and outfits is this? For those doing math?
18.
18.
This didn't include the bathing suits, the shades.
You had how many different pairs of sunglasses?
Four.
Really?
Four different pairs of sunglasses.
I don't even own four pairs of sunglasses.
That's the first problem. Bathing suits, toiletries, all the things.
Carry-on bag.
Carry-on bag.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Literally. So there's a couple of things that you need to understand about carry-on bags. So there's two different sizes. There is the domestic size and the international size. The international carry-on is smaller. And so when you are traveling on international flights, that is the suitable, that is the accepted size. They're not typically going to accept the domestic size carry-on. So first you have to keep that in mind. One thing that I've also learned is that all U.S. airlines accept a carry-on and a personal bag. A lot of international airlines do not accept. You are not allowed automatically one carry-on. A lot of them, you are allowed just a personal item and you have to check everything else. So even the carry-on cannot come on the plane with you. So like Swiss Airlines, Lufthansa, like these are airlines, very popular airlines. But when it comes to international travel on international carriers, you're not guaranteed a carry-on. Especially if you're sitting in economy. They typically only allow a carry-on for someone sitting in first class.
Good to know.
So please check that in advance.
So some of the benefits of packing light. When I say packing light, I really just mean a carry-on and a personal item.
Yeah, not checking a bag.
You're not paying those check bag fees.
Word. You're not going to lose your luggage.
You're not going to. Yeah, hopefully a lot less likely unless you leave it slipping in the bathroom.
If you're reckless, that's
something
on you.
Also, navigating the city is going to be a lot easier.
Word.
Right? Like if you want to take public transportation, a lot easier. If you want to get a taxi or an Uber, a lot easier. It just makes life a lot simpler. Also, it gives you more time because you'll be at that carousel for like an extra 30 minutes.
Word. And that's what I was getting ready to say. You get out of the airport a lot faster. You get onto your destination quicker. So if you do have like a train to catch, if you've got a meeting to make, if there's some sort of other transfer, having just a carry-on, not checking a bag, allows you to walk off the plane out of the airport.
And then from the budget-conscious perspective, if your bag is small and you've already got it packed up, a lot less room for all of these souvenirs.
Whoa.
That you may want to buy.
Yeah.
Keeps you on a budget.
That's a thing. I don't subscribe to that. To the point, literally on this trip back, I did so much shopping, I had to buy a new piece of large format luggage.
This is not part of the advice,
fill it up,
by the way.
And check it. But Listen, packing light does allow you to save a lot of time and a lot of money. I know it's easier said than done, but I am telling you, it is worth it. Also, invest in a decent carry-on bag. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing.
And Alan wasn't going to say that same thing.
No,
the reason why he's trying to over-talk me right now is because Alan has the worst carry-on luggage.
Yeah.
And over the years of knowing him, it has gotten slightly better. But I mean, like, wheels falling off, handle falling off in mid-stride. Falling apart.
I was about to give you some props.
Yeah, I will take my props.
But oh, my God.
The reason why you need to invest in a good carry-on is because, unlike Alan, you don't want to have to buy three or four. Like, I've had the same carry-on for a very long time because it lasts. Again, my wheels have never fallen. Literally, you know, I've walked through the airport with Alan and the whole handle has just come off
the
airport.
We can edit this
And
out.
Then he's just like holding it in his hand.
This doesn't even
He's holding
part of
the luggage in his hand.
Yeah, no.
So.
No. Well, I was just going to give you a props because we were on a business trip to Indianapolis visiting our dry cleaners out there and my bag malfunctioned.
Malfunctioned.
Okay.
It melted.
It malfunctioned, okay? And
went home to be with the Lord.
We were like examining a few different luggage options.
Examining.
Tiffany suggested the high price item. I declined.
Word.
Politely.
That's a fact.
I identified a place that was more a
suitable
fit
for
my budget, mm-hmm. my taste, you know?
Word.
It's falling apart already.
Are you serious?
You jinxed the hell out of me. You were like, you know this is going to fall apart.
Is it really falling apart?
Yo, it is falling apart. I just came back from Miami and my bag is struggling already.
Get out of here. You just bought that bag.
Yeah, I paid $100 for this bag and this is not what you want
to
do.
This has to be like the fourth carry-on you've purchased.
This is probably my third.
Since I've known you.
Yeah, third in 8 years.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that.
No, it's
just going to be honest
about it. So buy some decent luggage.
Yeah.
Okay, at a fair price.
Or duct tape. You're going to have to duct tape that jam together.
So other things, TSA Pre. I'm a big fan of TSA Pre.
Word.
Yeah. Now there's Global Entry.
Yeah.
There's Clear.
Yeah.
For me and my travel needs, TSA Pre works really well.
So here's the difference between all of them, right? So first, there's also something called Mobile Passport. There's Mobile Passport, which is an app that you download on your phone and you kind of get your passport validated in advance so that when you are traveling internationally and you come back into the country and you have to go through customs, you can actually go through customs on your phone and then you won't have to do it when, like, in the airport. Mm. So it saves time. Then there's TSA Pre. That helps you
domestically
for sure. Definitely there is no TSA Pre outside of the country, but it is something that you do. You have to set up an appointment, you have to get fingerprinted, but it basically is kind of like an identity check. They check your identity one time and therefore you are cleared or deemed a bit safer for travel moving forward for 5 years. It's $85 for 5 years. And it allows you to not have to stand in those really long Gen Pop lines. You get a separate line that typically is a lot smaller and a lot faster. You don't have to take your laptops out of your bag when you are going through security. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your coat off. So it also, again, allows you some convenience and some time.
Mm-hmm. And according to TSA's data, 94% of TSA pre-check passengers waited less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I've been using TSA PreCheck for over 5 years, and that honestly has been my experience every single time. I have walked past lines that have snaked through the airport to hop into a very, very short line and get right through to security, not have to take all my stuff out. It is a much needed convenience.
And certain credit card companies will reimburse your TSA PreCheck or your Global Entry fee.
Very true. I know United Airlines, they have a credit card that will reimburse you also. Then there's Global Entry. And Global Entry, again, is more suited for international travel. It is similar to TSA Pre in that you have to set up an appointment or you can actually do it in the airport. But you do have to go speak to somebody. They've got to validate you, who you are as a person. And when you are traveling, coming back into the country, you don't have to go through the very, very, very long customs line and process and answer all these questions. You just get to kind of walk out, just hit them with the deuces.
Are you signing up for one of these global ones?
So
I know you've got Pre.
I have Pre. I'm thinking about it. The only reason that like I have not done Global Entry yet is because when you sign up for Global Entry, you also get TSA PreCheck with it. And I'm being very petty, but I'm concerned they're going to try to change my number. Like if they give me a new TSA Pre,
oh my God.
I don't want them to change my KTN number.
You're sentimental that way?
I mean,
just convenient.
I know it by heart. And so it's saved everywhere. Yeah. Clearly, okay. I'm being petty. I will probably just walk my ass down to the airport and go get Global Entry. A lot of my friends have it. They said it took all of 5 minutes. And again, it lasts for several years. It's fairly inexpensive.
Yeah. And Clear doesn't work everywhere.
Word. So first of all, let me just say this real quick. If you work for Clear, calm down at the airport.
Yeah, they be
running
up on you.
Y'all are so aggressive. Like you see people going into the line for TSA Pre or whenever there's like a long line to get through security. Clearly people are vulnerable and they're concerned. These Clear people run down on you talking about, so you trying to get through, make your flight. You don't want to be late. Come over here and sign up for this Clear. I get it, but like calm down. Clear is, again, I think it's a solely domestic thing. It's not available at every single airport, but it is available at a lot of the major airports. You don't have to stand in any lines. There's literally a person who ushers you through directly through to security. You don't have to stand in TSA Pre, Gen Pop, none of the things. It's, again, a pre-identifier. It lasts for a number of years. If you travel to the major airports regularly, like Atlanta, New York, things of that nature, it might be helpful to you. If not,
but
not so much.
Newark, they don't have Clear in Newark.
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
like Newark, I know. I think it's a pretty major airport.
It is. I know they. I think they have it in Philly. I know for a fact they have it in Atlanta. I think it's like based in Atlanta.
But imagine playing
Miami. I know they have it in Miami.
Imagine paying that fee and you're so excited. I'm about to skip the line.
Yeah.
And they're like, what Clear? We ain't got no Clear.
I've never gotten Clear. I've never felt motivated to get Clear.
But PreCheck to me is
PreCheck
just as good
is literally kind of like the best entry level one for sure. But again, if you work for Clear specifically, calm down. Like y'all, I'm sure there are cases where some of y'all have gotten slapped. It's a bit much. It's a bit aggressive. Y'all are. Or not. It's not like kind. Like, hey, let me help you get through this situation. It's like, so what you doing with your life? Like, whoa. But yeah, so these things are helpful. And again, as Alan mentioned, for TSA Pre and Global Entry, typically a lot of credit card providers will reimburse you for that charge.
Facts. Next, regarding the calendar, like deciding when you're going
to
travel.
So before we get to that, Alan's trying to do something. He doesn't recognize that I see what he's trying to do.
Oh, my God.
So we have a list, okay? It may seem like a lot of this is off the cuff, but yeah. We do work on notes prior to doing our
podcast.
Every
single show.
Yeah. And so I'm aware of where we were supposed to go next. And he's purposely not going there. But we are going to arrive early to the airport. Alan's going to remain completely quiet for this one because he refuses. When I say refuses, I've never met a person more disrespectful to departure time. Arriving to the airport early allows you to not only be easygoing as you go through, make sure you have everything, not feel rushed. Again, get yourself something to eat. Make sure you're good to go. Check some emails before you leave, whatever. It also gives you the time to prepare for anything that may be going wrong in the airport. Planning to not acknowledge that something could go wrong is not planning at all. Alan arrives at the airport 15 minutes before the plane is leaving.
This is not true.
Under the assumption that
this is not true.
There's no line. There's no security issue.
This is not true.
There's no issue.
All right.
Maybe, okay, 20 minutes if there's like a tram.
An hour. I am 1 hour. At security is my minimum.
That's a lie. That is
1 hour, 100%.
That is a lie.
1 hour, B.
Alan and I, on the times we have had to fly together.
1 hour.
Go to war over how early to leave at the airport.
1 hour.
Alan wants to leave his house 1 hour before the plane leaves.
Oh my gosh. Let's just move on.
It is egregious, but I'm telling you right now. Like,
I will acknowledge getting there on time. There's no harm in it.
There is. Okay. God forbid you arrive. Again, we know there's a labor shortage. There's all these issues at airports.
Lines in airports are crazy right now.
It's insane.
For food, for everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are closed, so you're going to have to walk to the other end of the airport to make it to the bathroom. But please arrive early. And aside from it just being a convenience or being helpful, the other thing, it might save you some money. A lot of times we're taking like an Uber or some sort of rideshare or car service to the airport. And when you're in a rush or when you wait to the last minute, you're probably going to have to pay some sort of surcharge. There might be a surge. So again, leaving early, planning early. I don't know if you guys know this, but with Uber, you can plan your ride to the airport. You can tell them days in advance, please make sure you're at my house at this time to take me to the airport. They are typically always 5 minutes early at a minimum, but you're not waiting to the last minute. Oh, I'm going to call an Uber at the last minute, get on Uber. Oh, it's no cars available. Oh, it's a surge. They're trying to charge double. Whatever. I can't get anybody on the phone. Somebody canceled. When you plan to leave early, you will be in a better situation. You won't be rushing, spending money on things you don't need to spend money on.
Extra parking fees.
Because now you got to valet a car at the airport because you don't have time to park it in the economy parking lot. It is helpful.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Okay, but you aren't going
to
skip past that.
I subscribe
You don't subscribe to it.
Okay.
So
All right.
Hopefully you can pull it together moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in trouble now.
You are.
All right, sit my ass down.
Quick question, and I'll leave it. Mm-hmm. How many flights have you missed?
I think I've only missed like one flight. Maybe a connector. One and a possible. That's it. I missed a flight out of Philly one time. Because Philly's an hour away from the crib.
And it's not.
The airport's a little further than that. And
correct.
I didn't quite calculate that well.
Okay.
So
you never missed a flight to New Orleans?
I got there on time and they were full.
That happened. You have a seat. They can't be full.
It was full. I got there on time.
You
it was
did
full.
Get there on time.
It was full.
And it was full.
Yeah.
That's not true. This is one of Alan's issues with time. Alan accounts for the time that it takes from being in the car to arriving at a destination, not how long, like getting out of the car, parking the car, getting inside the destination. Mm. Not how long it takes him to get in the car leaving his house. It's like, oh, it's an hour from here to Philly, not Philadelphia Airport, not then parking, having to take a tram, do all the other things. So I'm going to leave it right where it's at, but it'll save you some money. And if you're traveling with a business partner or a spouse, it'll save you a headache.
Sure.
Getting cursed out.
Sure.
Running through the airport.
Okay.
You made a joke one time about me. Recently, I was traveling somewhere with my friends and I posted it on social media and you were like, oh, you had a whole little outfit on. Okay.
Travel outfit?
A little travel outfit. And I was like, yeah, I get to travel nice when I'm traveling with my friends or by myself because I don't have to sprint through the damn airport. When I am with Alan, I have to wear sneakers, lace tight, athletic gear, shoulder pads. Because God forbid, I will be running through the airport, chin checking, shoulder checking anybody in my way.
Everyone knows.
Just to ensure that I can make the flight.
Yeah, this is an exaggeration.
Okay.
Sure. All right, so we should probably go to break.
We can go to break and come back with some more suitable tips.
We'll go out on a lie, come back with the truth.
Not at all, but how to save time and money on travel. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Talking about travel.
Telling the truth this time.
All the time. Always telling the truth. A really big piece of travel advice, I think, that a lot of people don't know, is super strategic, is on and off peak times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's on and off peak times for when to buy your ticket and on and off peak times for when to travel to save money. So historically, a lot of people know that buying a flight, you don't want to buy your flight on a Monday or a Friday.
Mm-hmm. You mean to fly on those days or physically at the computer?
Yep, purchasing your flight. Flights are typically known to be higher in price on Mondays and Fridays. Friday, they know you got paid. So
Friday night,
yeah. So
just got paid.
The price might go
money
up a little
in
bit.
My pocket.
Monday, they know you've been thinking about this flight all weekend
because
you got paid on Friday. And so the price is still a little bit higher. I have typically always tried to purchase my flights Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. And I have really physically seen that the prices are different.
Yeah. I also find that if you keep Googling for the same flight itinerary, it's going to make the price go up.
Is that what you found?
Word. I'm telling you. You keep looking and looking
like
and looking.
Like, oh, do some people want this flight?
If you keep looking at the same exact thing, like especially on Amtrak, I find this. It will automatically go up.
I've never heard of this in my life.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Positive.
That's Alan's tip.
Yeah.
Only look one time.
Mark that down. I didn't say look one time, but I'm saying like, don't look 25 times.
Okay.
Like it's not
the
going down.
Block is hot.
It's not going down. Like, do you find that flight prices ever go down?
Yeah.
Well, that debunks what I just
said. Here's the other
thing
though. It depends on how far out you're looking. Alan, how far out do you look to purchase flights?
Same week.
Usually. Oh my God. He's dead ass serious. This is the problem. So none of this applies if you are waiting to purchase your flight the same week. Okay? I tend to purchase my flights at least 30 days out, if I have control over it, at least
30 minutes out.
Exactly. No. Yeah. So these things apply if you have some time before you're traveling. If you are traveling tomorrow, it is what it is. Yeah. You're going to have to pay it. So yeah, if you're traveling tomorrow, don't keep looking.
Yeah.
Ain't no point.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But also travel days. So traveling Fridays or the weekends, the flight's going to be higher. Everybody's traveling. Everybody's using those days. Those are the opportune days for travel. So if you are trying to fly Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you're going to pay for it. Honestly, if you try to fly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the prices oftentimes are a fraction of what they would have been for the weekend.
Facts.
So when you're thinking about vacation, when you're thinking about work travel, I know it may not sound sexy to leave for vacation on Tuesday, but the cost savings might be quite sexy.
Yeah. Same thing with the flight times. Like sometimes the 6:30 a.m. flight is the move.
The 6:30 a.m. flight is always for the low.
And every now and then, the hotel will let you in early.
Every now and then. Listen, that doesn't happen often for me. I just plan to I know a lot of places, especially if you're traveling for vacation, a lot of hotels know that people will arrive early. Even if the room isn't available, they'll make the amenities available for you early. So they'll let you go to the pool. You can check your bag. They'll let you do other things. So keep that in mind. Like you might not, again, you if you fly out at 6:30 in the morning and you arrive to your destination at 9:30, 10, check-in is until 3 o'clock. So plan to go grab some lunch. Plan to go to the beach, hang out at the pool, do something else. But it is worth the cost savings to get that early flight out. I also always notice, especially now in the day and age where there are so many late flights and cancellations, that 6:30 a.m. flight don't never get canceled.
Word.
That's the one flight that's always on time and never gets canceled.
It sets the tone for the whole day.
No, it doesn't, because the shit pops off after that flight. It doesn't set the tone
they
for the whole
day. They get the good one out the way.
They get the good one out the way.
Because what happens later in the day, they're like, oh yeah, the flight attendants haven't had any sleep.
Word.
The pilot is drunk right now.
All
so.
The things. That 6:30 a.m. flight is not going to get canceled and you're going to get out on time. Facts.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Because by 7 p.m., people feet hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The plane is out of gas.
They get trifling.
They haven't cleaned it.
Yeah.
All the things. So might feel like an inconvenience,
flat tire.
I'm telling you it'll save you time and money.
Okay. So let's talk about bank accounts for a minute. So a couple things about your bank account. So number one, you should have one account somewhere where you can take money out of an ATM with no ATM fees. A lot of the internet banks offer this.
Word.
This is really helpful when you're abroad because your bank may not be there. And also if you're abroad, you're getting a good currency exchange rate at the ATM, much better than you're going to get with a vendor or even at the airport currency exchange place.
That's very true because there is a little bit of a surcharge where you can use those currency exchange places versus your bank. They're just doing a job.
Yeah. That's a fact. I also try to use my credit card or debit card when I'm traveling as opposed to trying to spend cash for everything because, again, the exchange rate's a lot better in your financial institution than it will be at the market or at one of these exchanges.
Yeah, I've also heard, depending on what type of credit card provider you use or whoever you bank with, that they will give you the best exchange rate over a period of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So instead of whatever the currency changes at that moment, it might be whatever was the best rate, up until your statement's due or something like that.
Yeah.
But they are your credit card company, your bank provider is trying to help you out. Like they got your back when you travel.
Yeah.
So using them versus, again, some sort of third party vendor or even going to the airport helps.
Yeah. 'Cause I just got back from Montreal. Beautiful place, by the way. I've got all these Canadian dollars in my wallet right now that I can't use anything. I can't use this money for anything.
Yeah.
I wish
it's
I
pretty.
Just...
Pretty. Looks nice.
Yeah. I had to pay for one thing, and I was like, oh, I'm going to take some extra just in case.
Yeah.
I didn't need any extra. So.
I didn't do that one time. I was in France for over a week.
You never touched a euro?
Never touched a euro.
Look at you.
Just being an ignorant American. Never even.
But you didn't try to spend dollars at all.
Sure did.
You did?
You going to take these dollars?
For tips or for
whatever I felt lucky.
That's disrespectful. That's why they hate Americans.
It worked. Okay. So I don't have any euros. I don't have any of those coins. I have none of those things.
I got no euro coins.
None of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will tell you.
What, these dollars or what?
But I will tell you, and this is a shopping tip. If you travel internationally and you're shopping internationally, so if you like designer items, there are certain And I'm really specifically talking to designer items because I don't think this applies to like small family-owned shops and things of that nature as much. If you like designer items, in Europe, in France, in different parts of the country where these items are historically based, like French designers, the prices are considerably less than in the United States.
Yeah.
And you would think like, well, wait, the exchange rate, like I would think that it's more. It's the opposite.
So I'm going to go to the TJ Maxx in France.
Listen, the TJ Maxx.
Not come up.
No, you will. You won't. But like Dior, like depending on what designers you like, if they are based out of Europe and you are in any part of Europe, the price is like easily 35% less, even with the exchange rate. Then this is when it gets sexy.
Okay.
Right. Then. When you are leaving, so when you make the purchase, you want to always have your passport on you. If you are shopping out of the country, always have your passport on you because they will give you a special ticket for you to get more money back when you go to the airport. So in these European countries, you pay some sort of tax, right? For just like in the United States, you pay tax to go shopping. There's a bit of a 10% tax baked into the price of these items in these countries. You are not a European citizen, so you shouldn't be paying these taxes. When you get to the airport, you show them the receipts of the things that you purchased. It's before leaving the country. Show them the receipts of the items that you purchased, and they give the money back to you on the spot.
That's crazy.
They'll put it back on your card. They'll give it to you in cash, and I don't mean euros. They'll give it back to you in cash, however way you want it, but it's exactly 10% of what you spent on these items.
This is for Europe. I don't know if this works in... I don't know if this works in Jamaica.
I don't know. I don't know but either.
Europe,
but
this
I
works.
I was saying in Europe, this works. Me and my friends, we did a ton of shopping. We got all our money back, no issue. It wasn't even a thought. I had a friend who bought a really, really expensive jewelry item. She got over $1,000 back just on that item. And they were like, listen, you want cash or you want it back on your card?
That's what's up.
Keep that in mind when you are shopping internationally.
So she spent thousands and thousands to get $1,000 back.
But when you are traveling internationally, always have your passport on you so that they can give you the extra ticket to get that refund.
Okay. I would also say the dollar is really strong right now.
It is. So it is super
strong.
Think
about where to go based on that.
That's
a little
a good
bit.
Point. Yeah, and I will tell
Europe
you.
Europe is one of those places where the euro is lower than
the
dollar right
and
now.
And that was really impressive also. But typically, I will tell you, when I do look at travel destinations, I do always look at the value of the dollar versus their local currency. That does have an impact on the location that I choose.
Facts.
How can I ball out, or do I got to keep it cute?
Yeah. Staying in this financial lane and which bank to use and currencies and all that, let's talk about rewards programs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as good with the rewards program, so I'm going to kick it off to you.
Don't, because...
Kick it to Tiffany.
It depends, right? So I am not a person... I know a lot of people have specific credit cards because they want points and travel points and all these things and access to lounges. I don't do that. I'm not a credit card person. We've talked about that before. I don't care about your points. But I am a loyalty rewards person. So like I am United Diamond, like, you know what I mean? Like Hilton Diamond, oh, wow. I'm United Gold. But all Delta, JetBlue, all of them, you know, make sure when you buy a flight, I don't care if it's your first time ever buying a flight with a particular carrier, sign up for the loyalty program.
I'm Priceline certified.
I don't mean Priceline, like specific okay. to the carrier, okay?
Right.
I don't think it's no extra points that come with Priceline. But whatever carrier you're using, sign up for the loyalty program and make sure you always remember the number, your username and login, because you earn a lot of discounts. You will earn free upgrades.
My MTA card is platinum.
Not your MTA
but go
card.
On, go on.
But it does save a ton of money. And in those special lounges, I have access to all those lounges too without needing a credit card and paying, you know, 27% in interest. Like, you want to every single time. Don't ever forget. I know a lot of people are like, listen, I don't remember that number. I'm not about to put that number in. I don't travel enough. Please,
yeah.
Put it in every single time. It will save you money. I guarantee you. It will be such an added convenience for a variety of reasons. But again, you will get free upgrades. You'll get discounts on your flights. I have a thing with Hilton where, because I'm Hilton Diamond, if I want to stay at a particular hotel and it's sold out, I still get a room.
See, they kicked someone out. They kicked me out one time, probably.
That's not true.
So I happened on my flight to New Orleans that time.
Literally.
Somebody was diamond, no, and they gave them my seat.
That's not what happened. But seriously, like, no matter, because I am such a loyalty member, I get a room in whatever hotel I want to stay in, even when it's fully booked.
Look at that. That's Jesus needed that. Yeah.
So, and my prices are considerably different. Like, it's also not like I'm paying the same prices as someone else. I literally just looked at a room recently, a hotel room, and the price for me, because I'm a Diamond member, was $200 less a night.
Dang. I never stayed in a hotel that cost
whatever
that much where I could save $200.
Whatever.
But other websites just have their own little programs. Like Orbitz has a good one. Hotels.com has one where you earn free nights. Booking.com has them. I use Hotel Tonight because it's, you know, again,
tonight,
I don't plan.
Alan don't know where he's going to be at tonight.
Yeah, I don't plan. I buy my hotels usually when I'm at the airport landing. And so Hotels Tonight has a great rewards program I participate in. Listen, it's
worked
out. I
have Hotels Tonight too, but I've never been like, yeah, I'm going to do a, I'm about to get on the plane. Let me figure out where I'm going to sleep tonight.
Ballin'. Again, if you're going to use credit cards, we're not huge fans of credit cards, but when we talk about the perks, like if you have the airline version of the credit card, often there's all types of extra.
They always do it when you're on the plane, when you're about to land. And all of a sudden, the flight attendant gets on.
Major announcement.
Yeah, major announcement. We've got
you guys have been selected.
Amazing opportunity for you to become a credit card member and receive 80,000 points on your first purchase, which will get you to Philadelphia round trip. So, yeah, whatever it is, I know they offer them. And I have friends who really like live by these points, and there's like Facebook groups that tell you how to maneuver the points for upgrades and all these things. If you are paying off your credit bill every month, it's none of my business. But if you're not, please don't use the points as incentive to keep spending money, especially when you're on travel.
Yeah, that's a fact. So other money and time saving tips, look beyond just hotels.
Yeah.
There's Airbnb, there's HomeAway, there's VRBO.
So here's the thing. And I am a Airbnb person. But I'm also a hotel person. But, you know, I've always loved Airbnb. I grew a lot closer to it in COVID because it felt safer not having to go through a hotel lobby and not having communal spaces. You know, that was helpful to me when I had to travel during the height of COVID. I think we're always in COVID at this point, but during the height of COVID. But I'm not going to lie. I still love me a good hotel room. I still love a good room service. Daily maid. All types of additional amenities, but be flexible in your accommodation plans because they all kind of come with their ups and downs. I will tell you, hotels, when you look at the price of a hotel, we all know this. When you go to book a hotel, that room night fee don't have nothing to do with what you're actually going to pay.
Yeah, that's a fact.
There's resort fees, there's taxes, there's all types. It's literally
because fees.
Just because. It's going to be 25% more than the daily night fee that's advertised. So that's something that you don't necessarily want to deal with. But even with Airbnb, their daily night fee doesn't include the cleaning fee. That is whatever that person wants it to be. It's not like a standard flat rate. It's not a percentage. It's depending on how clean I need my house to be is how much you're going to pay.
And they might be cleaning it themselves.
Word. It's none of your business.
Yeah. But you also, you rented, I know you haven't stayed there yet, but didn't you rent a non-traditional Airbnb recently? A boat or a yacht or?
Yes.
A tanker or something?
It's not a tanker, but yeah. So Airbnb now has all types of alternative rental options. You could do tiny houses. You could do a ton of things. And yes, I did rent a yacht for later on this year.
Wow.
And
it's a flex.
It's you said it. I had no plan of bringing it up on air.
You could say it was a campsite. No one knows.
Sure. You said it was a boat, a yacht.
I said, I don't know. Or a tanker. Or a, sure. I don't know.
Okay. But
aircraft carrier.
An aircraft carrier. Sure. I've also, though, rented yachts directly with the company. And I will tell you, for me, I like renting through Airbnb because it comes with Air Cover, which is their new level of insurance. It comes with a helpline. I recently had a rental through Airbnb and there was a safety issue. And I had to call the Airbnb safety helpline to get me through that situation. Also, me also. But there's just some extra perks and extra layers of protection.
Yeah.
And somebody else just has your back when
you're
going
through
Airbnb.
Did you think to call Liam Neeson?
No.
from Taken?
I did not. I didn't have his number. If I had his number, I'd have called him.
Okay. All right.
But just be flexible in when you're thinking about your travel or your accommodations, because there's a lot of options. They all have their benefits. Some work better than others. There's charges associated with all of them. But I find if I am staying somewhere for a long period of time, probably more than 4 days, I'm going to have a significant cost savings if I go through like an Airbnb, HomeAway, or VRBO.
Especially, by the way, I've got 3 kids, so there's five of us, so I could get multiple adjoining rooms, or for way less, I can get a whole house or apartment.
Seriously. So for people who do travel with large families and you're doing your summer vacation or whatever the case is, please look outside of hotel rooms. That just sounds expensive.
Yeah.
You guys can get a beautiful, large home.
Apartment.
For
a stove.
Yeah, for a lot less money. Without all the, you know, your kids are now in the mini bar drinking water that costs you $18. Like, you don't have to do all that. There is considerable cost savings in these, you know, outside platforms other than hotels.
Yeah, because, I mean, on that money saving tip, like, you now get the option of cooking for your family or for yourself. If you get an Airbnb or a home, you have the option of storing your leftovers and reheating them, which you don't always have that option in a hotel. So again, a lot of savings, but also just good quality. Like, I found that a lot of the Airbnbs are way nicer than some of the hotels that I have access to from my level of diamond benefits. So other things, avoid renting a car. You know, there's a lot of ways to get around without renting a car nowadays, including public transportation, bicycles. Like in Montreal is a great bike riding city. Walking, using your feet every now and then.
Yeah. I will say, yes, that's an option. But I do think that renting a car can also be cost effective, especially if you're Ubering everywhere. Like, if you're Uber can get expensive. Like, again, there are surges. It depends on where you are. It depends on what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're just going to one place and just kind of chilling, you don't need to rent a car.
But like, some places, for example, like, it's so expensive to park. Even at the hotel, it might be $50, $60 a night. Like, when I go to South Beach, I try not to rent a car because the hotel itself is going to hit you with $50 to $60 a day. And then if you drive to dinner, then you got a valet. Like, it's just a hassle.
So I think if you're going to major metropolitan areas where there is minimal parking, high cost for parking and things of that nature, don't rent a car. Absolutely. But if you're going to the middle of nowhere, go in and rent that car.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably going to save you some money. Plus, rental rates are different in different areas. Renting a car in Nebraska might be like $20 a day versus renting a car in Miami, which is going to be significantly more a day. So again, explore your options. This is what comes with planning far enough in advance so that you can explore what makes the most sense for you and what is most cost effective. And then you can make the best decision versus just having to pick whatever's available and paying all this money.
Now, I do rent my cars in advance, but when I say in advance, like when I'm on the flight, but I haven't taken off yet to go there, I go to AutoSlash and it gives you all the best rental rates. And that's in advance. I didn't do it when I landed. I do it right before I take off.
Okay. Well, feel free.
Follow us for more money and time-saving tips.
Don't follow Alan. Don't us anything at all, because I do not do that. I will book in advance to make sure that I know I will have a car available, and so that I don't have to stand in line when it's time for me to get my rental car. I go straight to the car. They send me a text on my phone. I go straight to the car, and I drive out.
Good.
But, you know, do it Alan's way if you want to.
You can do it the janky way if you want.
Alan janky travel advice. But stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose. And I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I am hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace. creativity, and revolution.
So we are back.
Yes.
We're talking about travel. We both just got back from kind of like our first summer vacation.
Out of the country.
We both went out of the country.
Some people drove, some people flew first class.
Word. We're not going to say who these people were.
Sure.
But we can speak from all experiences. Mm-hmm. Another way to really save some money is booking activities ahead. So if you are going on a family vacation, a solo vacation, whatever you're doing, make sure you check out the activities before you get there and see if you can pay for them before you get there. It will save you a lot of money. I'm sure you guys are aware that ticket prices will change over time, especially if you're using a third-party platform like a StubHub or a resale website. The prices can get more expensive as the event approaches when they start to see the popularity of the event. So knowing in advance how much you want to spend on activities and purchasing those tickets in advance will save you a good amount of money.
Yeah. I also think it's a good idea to just be local, not just a tourist. So don't just go to the tourist restaurant. Go to the neighborhood restaurant. Maybe go to the supermarket instead of buying things from the hotel, the little store, the snack shack at the hotel.
Word.
Be local.
I agree.
And if you do want to go to that nice, fancy tourist restaurant, try going for lunch instead of dinner. You'll find the prices are probably a little bit better at that
for
time.
For sure. I think that's really good advice. Another thing, and I feel like I'm being a bit of a parent at this point,
okay,
but I got to do my part. It will save you some money. Drink responsibly. If you are going to be drinking, having a good time, knocking them back, whatever you call it, I'm telling you right now, it will save you a significant amount of money if you drink responsibly. And that could mean whatever it means to you. It could mean having someone there who isn't drinking as much as you, maybe not having that fourth or fifth drink, whatever your personal tolerance is. But it is a fact that when you are drinking a lot, you spend more money, you lose more money. You end up paying prices for things that you wouldn't typically pay if you were in your right mind. Like, you would know. You get taken advantage of. And you want to avoid any type of accident. You want to avoid getting locked up.
Yeah, that's facts.
Okay, I know we all want to go and have a good time and turn up and like take a break and take the edge off, but don't put the edge on. Alan is making so many faces.
Share. It's good advice. I'm just saying it's good advice.
It's never happened to you?
No. But on that note, travel in groups. Group travel saves money. It might add
not
stress. No, I mean, like, on average, let's say, like, I'm doing a guide trip, ironically, to New Orleans.
Okay, guide trip to New Orleans.
This month.
What is it called? What was it? Girl's trip? Boys trip?
Finally.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, the women are running laps around the dudes when it comes to guide trips and girl trips.
Because y'all wait to the day of to buy your flight. Like, y'all don't plan accordingly to be able to actually take a trip and have a good time.
Yeah. Like, we planned at 30. We were like, we're going to do a guide trip annually. This is the second trip. I'm 45, and this is the second trip we're taking.
You know how long ago I started doing group trips? Like there was a time where I said, I'm about to start taking trips with my friends.
How long?
2.5 years ago.
Okay.
We've been to 8 million places since then.
You really have. It's a shame.
I never did large group travel with my friends. Like, I would travel with my friends, but like only one person or maybe two people. But like these large group trips that I've been taking, I decided this in COVID, like moving forward, we're going to come together and we're going to spend more time with each other. We have gone every damn where and counting.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for y'all.
But it requires planning.
Okay. Speaking of planning, in these cities, do the free stuff.
True.
There's some great free stuff. So I was in Montreal, as I mentioned, and I stumbled on this Montreal Jazz Fest. Didn't realize it was going on. But my kids and I, we went to 8 concerts in 2 days, and dope concerts. And 6 out of the 8 were free.
That's dope.
Yeah. Great artists.
Yeah. Going to parks, going to
museums. A lot of times museums have free days where you can get in for no fee, especially in New York City.
Yeah, so definitely check into the free stuff. I do agree, especially if you're visiting a place for the first time. Like, I think the free stuff is a really great place to start instead of just jumping into whatever costs a lot of money. And if the weather is nice, there's also plenty to do outdoors, festivals, markets, things of that nature for you to just enjoy yourself, enjoy your time, and save some money.
Facts. So can we address the elephant in the room?
What is the elephant? It's an elephant?
This is the question, the single question everyone's been wanting the answer to.
I'm sure no one wants the answer to this question, but have at it.
When you are renting a car, should you get the insurance? That's a big question.
That's a big question. So I will tell you what I do, and I'm just being honest with y'all. When it's a business trip and the business is paying for it, I get the insurance every time. Okay, I get all right. The insurance. Okay? Liability, my stuff, your stuff, anybody else's stuff, I get all the insurance. When it's me, my personal travel, and I'm paying for it, I'm 50-50.
Yeah. Okay.
I might get the lowest, like I have to get the lowest amount. Like, I am aware that my own personal car insurance may cover some things, but I just want to make sure I want to be on the hook for all of it. So I might get the lowest amount. But that car insurance adds, it literally doubles.
Yeah, no, it makes it
the price expensive. Of the rental. What about you, Alan?
So here's my take. All right. So look, I used to be the guy that never got the insurance because I know that my auto insurance and most people's auto insurance will cover rental cars. Okay. But I also had the unfortunate experience of having my rental car damaged. I was literally parked on the street and someone hit the car and they kept it moving. And I put in a claim, but now it's a hassle because now I got to deal with my deductible. My insurance rate might go up. I'm like, man, like it's crazy. Like, I ended up just paying out of pocket because I didn't want to, you know, have an insurance claim over something so small. But I paid, I don't know, $400 or something like that. Because my car deductible, I think, is $500. And so I'm like, man, I really wish I had just bought the insurance for sure.
Okay.
So there are other options. There's your auto policy. There's the rental cars policy. There's also third-party insurance you can buy on your own in advance from places like Allianz, Bonza, Insure My Rental Car, Rental Cover, Sure. These are things you could buy in advance if you want.
I just have to interrupt you really quickly. That was real cute. Allianz is Alliance.
It's Allianz.
Is it Alliance?
Or? It's Allianz. It's French. You just came back from French.
France. Okay, well, I have it because I do have travel insurance.
It's Allianz.
And anytime I've called, they call it Alliance. Yeah. But either of the two.
Let's look it up.
Let's look it up another time. But travel insurance is quite the flex. It is quite necessary. In my personal opinion, travel insurance will cover a lot of things. So it'll cover your particular medical bills if something happens to you when you're outside of the country. It'll also cover like cancellations and things that losing your luggage, something happening at your hotel or wherever you're staying, like picking up the cost to make sure that you're good quickly. Any type of accidents that happen. I have been traveling with travel insurance. I buy an annual policy. And I literally have maxed out on all the benefits, and it's $427 a year.
Who do you buy a policy through?
Allianz.
My mom had the unfortunate incident of needing to be hospitalized and medevaced on a trip, and thankfully she had the coverage.
Yeah.
Because that was $30,000.
I'm telling you right now, mine is $427 a year. I do very extensive travel, and again, it covers medical, accidents, issues, just inconveniences. It also just covers inconveniences. If the airline loses your luggage, in that moment, you feel horrible. They do reimburse you like for the inconvenience, and it's capped at a particular rate. But then your travel insurance puts something on it even more to make sure that like you're taken care of immediately versus, oh, we'll find it, we'll get to you, whatever. Your travel insurance kicks in immediately until things get resolved.
That's good advice. And some credit card companies have
word
insurance built into their, like, especially like Amex,
yeah,
built into their program as well.
Real quick about Amex, and then I think we're gonna walk away today. Amex, I know in the United States, Amex is like the bomb and like it's premier and it feels very elite.
It's basic overseas.
Outside of the country, they don't, a lot of places don't even accept American Express.
Yeah. First of all, it has American in the name.
That's a fact. But the fees, they don't deal with the fees. So outside of the country, American Express is not a flex, and it's probably like a 40 to 50% chance that they won't accept it at all.
Yeah, so make sure you have a Visa, a MasterCard, and an Amex.
Or just a bank card.
Yeah, Diners Club.
No, Diners Club.
Make sure you have a Diners Club.
Definitely don't have a Diners Club card.
Yeah, Discover, we don't really rock with them like that.
I have friends that like Discover.
I'm joking.
But, you know, that is what it is. But these are our tips.
Yes.
How to save time and money on travel. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us will be traveling this summer, so think about some of these things that we talked about.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.